more likely than not, whatever 12-month calendar you might own has the same, displays the same feature, which is found on most printed calendars. Namely, right there on the third Thursday of every November, just like it was last year, and the year before that, is found the word Thanksgiving. On the one hand, that's a fine word to see on the printed page. It's commendable that someone, apparently way back when, recognized the importance of giving thanks to the one from whom all blessings flow. Sadly, however, the presence of that word on but one square of the typical calendar is probably accurately reflective of the amount of emphasis that most people tend to place on the activity. How much does the average American, or even the Christian American, think about thanking the Creator apart from that third Thursday? In sharp contrast to the typical calendar is the calendar, so to speak, that the Holy Spirit has provided. He has much to say, of course, about the living of daily life for Christians, including this activity of giving thanks. But how different is his calendar, as we see in such places as Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, where we are told simply, in everything, give thanks. That which the world tends to relegate to a single day of the year, and then blurs with traditional and peripheral activities of all kinds, is something which the Bible reveals is to be an active part of the Christian's daily life, giving God thanks. The apostle directs us to give thanks in everything, which naturally implies every day. No matter what the situation might be in which we find ourselves, no matter what our assessment of a circumstance might be, no matter the extent to which a certain event might be or might not be welcomed in our lives, the Lord directs us to give him thanks. And that is because no matter what the situation or the circumstance, he has always given us reason to give thanks. It wouldn't make any sense, and it would be completely out of character for our Lord to direct us to be living lives thankfully if he didn't give us reason to be giving him thanks in everything. And so he has provided us with very good reason, even more than enough good reason, to live life thankfully. At all times and in all places, after all, the Lord provides us with the forgiveness of sins and the covering of righteousness, which is necessary to gain entrance to eternal life. Because of the merits and works of Jesus, the gates of paradise are perpetually open, ready to welcome all those who put their trust in the Savior. And right there is more than enough reason to live thankfully. Regardless of what does or doesn't happen in our lives, what does or doesn't come our way, the kingdom ours remaineth. The Lord made sure that the cost of our redemption was fully paid, but that's not all. He gives us additional reasons to be thankful, even when difficulties arise en route to glory. He assures us that when challenges mount up and hardships increase, they are neither out of control nor are they without purpose. We can be thankful to him even when events occur that do cause us considerable grief, because he only allows things to take place which he can and which he will somehow use for the long-term benefit of his believers. One Christian who has been viewed as having provided a remarkable example of what it means to live thankfully is an individual identified in the hymnal. If you turn to hymn 36, you'll find his name. The name is Martin Rinkhart, found on the left-hand side of the page where the information about the text is provided. And the following narrative that I'm about to read comes from the Handbook to Christian Worship, which reveals why he is regarded as a model for true Christian giving of thanks, even amid hardship. Martin Rinkhart, whose sad and difficult ministry coincided with the horrible 30 Years' War, was born on April 23rd, 1586, at Eilenburg near Leipzig. The walled city of Eilenburg became the overcrowded refuge for political and military fugitives, as well as its own citizens, during the 30 Years' War. Deadly pestilence and famine swept through the town, and plundering armies marched mercilessly through its streets. It is said that Rinkhart often had difficulty in providing food and clothing for his own family, but still tried to aid other afflicted victims. By 1637, at the height of the suffering and death, Rinkhart was the only remaining minister. It is believed that he had to give burial rites up to as many as 70 people per day, and that he buried nearly 4,500 persons during the plague that year, including many of his co-workers and his own wife, who died in May of 1637. It is a matter of record that 8,000 people died in Eilenburg in 2 years, many buried in trenches without benefit of a service. Twice he persuaded the Swedish commander not to impose excessive tribute on the town and to spare its citizens. On one of these occasions, he begged for mercy on behalf of the city, and when he was refused, he turned to the citizens, saying, "Come, my children, we can find no mercy with men. Let us take refuge with God." He then fell on his knees and prayed with such fervor that the general relented and lowered his demand. Amazing life. Particular challenge to maintain an uplifted, buoyant, positive attitude in such situations. But Catherine Winkworth, whose name is also on that page as the translator, wrote of him, "So great were Rinkhart's own losses and charities that he had the utmost difficulty in finding bread and clothes for his children, and was forced to mortgage his future income for several years. Yet, how little his spirit was broken by all these calamities is shown by this hymn, 'Now thank we all our God,' and others that he wrote. Some indeed speaking of his own country's sorrows, but all breathing the same spirit of unbounded trust and readiness to give thanks." While there has apparently been some discussion among scholars as to just when he wrote "Now thank we all our God," whether during these terrible years or prior to them, what does appear to be well documented is his allegiance to the Christian doctrine and his dedication to his role as Lutheran minister, which seemed to have lasted right up to the end of his life. A life which, despite being filled with tremendous challenges and difficulties and hardships and pain, was apparently reflective of this directive of the Lord to give thanks in all times and in all places for everything, in everything, for our own good as well as his glory. Hymn 36.